Welcome to this edition of Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson.
He said, I am the good shepherd. I give my life for the sheep. That's as committed as you could possibly get. That's the commitment that the Lord Jesus Christ has to us, his sheep. He is committed to our welfare, to our well-being, to the extent that he gave up his life in order to secure our salvation. And so this is something that we can rest in.
Today on Back to Basics, Pastor Brian continues his study in the Gospel of John. Join us as Pastor Brian begins his teaching on John chapter 10, verse 11 and 27 through 28, in a message titled, The Shepherd and His Sheep. Now here's Pastor Brian.
John chapter 10, once again. We finished up the 10th chapter, but there were a few passages that I wanted to go back and look at in a little bit more detail, so we're going to be doing that. And we're going to look at John chapter 10, verses 11, 27, and 28. So let me read those verses to you. Jesus is speaking. He said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. And then over in verse 27, he said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Now, I want to talk specifically about the Lord being our shepherd and us being his sheep. In order to really grasp the significance of this analogy that the Lord uses, we have to understand a little bit about sheep, and we have to understand a little bit about shepherds. Sheep are interesting creatures. Sheep are one of the only animals that cannot take care of themselves. You know, you think about that. Think of all the animals that there are, and, you know, they're all pretty independent, self-sufficient, taking care of themselves, but sheep are sort of in a category all by themselves in this particular regard. They need someone else to take care of them. Sheep have no homing instinct and are therefore easily lost. They have no defensive skills and are therefore easy prey. They have no sense of danger, nor do they have depth perception. And so they will walk into a raging river or straight off a cliff. Now, some have considered sheep to be stupid, but that is not the case, really. As a matter of fact, Icelandic sheep are among the most intelligent animals in the world. So, you see, it's not that sheep are stupid. They're highly intelligent in many ways, but it seems as though God created these particular creatures to have a dependency on a shepherd so that he might use them as an illustration of our relationship with him and his relationship to us. That, I think, is really the best explanation for the reason why sheep are the way that they are. God created them with that dependence. They were not created to be independent of a shepherd. And likewise, we were not created to live independent of a shepherd either. So the primary issue with sheep is that they need constant care and are totally dependent on the shepherd for survival. So knowing these things helps us to understand the significance of the Lord's many references to people being like unto sheep, and to the significance of his statement here in verse 11, I am the good shepherd. Now, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. And many things are implied in this. And we want to look at this statement, I am the good shepherd, and also see what significance that holds for us as his sheep, looking at verse 27. So notice, having said, I am the good shepherd, Jesus then speaks of my sheep. My sheep, there's personal ownership that is being referred to here. Now, the well-being of the sheep is dependent on the shepherd. And a shepherd who is not serious about the business of being a shepherd, or a shepherd who has been hired and is not actually the actual owner of the sheep, would have a tendency not to give the kind of care to the sheep that they really need. Jesus, he speaks of my sheep. He's referring to them in a personal way. And if you want to know about his commitment as the shepherd, remember what he said? He said, I am the good shepherd. I give my life for the sheep. That's as committed as you could possibly get. That's the commitment that the Lord Jesus Christ has to us, his sheep. He is committed to our welfare, to our well-being, to the extent that he gave up his life in order to secure our salvation. And so this is something that we can rest in. This is something that we can rejoice in, that we are actually his sheep, that he is our shepherd, that he has taken personal ownership of our lives. You know, I am so thankful that is the case, that as I go through life, that as we go through life, we can rest in the fact that we have the good shepherd watching out for us. We have the good shepherd who has his eye upon us. We have the good shepherd whose entire life is really spent with tending to the sheep. You know, that is such a wonderful reality. We never have to be concerned that maybe our shepherd has lost track of us, that maybe he's taken his eye off of us, or that maybe somehow he's gone off into some other business and isn't really available for us. We're told in Hebrews that Jesus Christ ever lives to make intercession for us. His entire life is taken up with the welfare of his flock. You wonder maybe what is the Lord doing right now? He came to earth, as you know. He died on the cross. He rose from the dead. He ascended back into heaven. He's sitting at the right hand of God. What is he doing up there? Well, some people would think, he's keeping the universe all together. And, you know, he's got the planets in their various orbits. And, you know, he's got to keep this thing fine-tuned so it can function properly. And then, of course, there's all kinds of trouble in the world. So he's probably having to, you know, help out with this and get involved in that situation. You know, no, he doesn't have to do any of that stuff. The Bible tells us that it's just his very word that's holding everything together. What he is primarily doing, his primary occupation is still that of a shepherd. He's shepherding us. He's watching over us. He's taking care of us. He's looking out for our welfare. He's got our best interest in mind because we are his sheep. Personal ownership. He said, my sheep. But then notice the second thing he said. He said, I know them. I know them. This speaks of intimacy with the sheep. Now, a good shepherd in the literal sense is a shepherd who knows his sheep, knows all about them. And as a matter of fact, A good shepherd is really responsible to know the state of the flock. You know, an interesting thing about sheep, sheep have a very high tolerance for pain. And so sheep will be injured and they will just keep pressing on with life, even with that injury. It's up to the shepherd to spot that sheep that's been injured and then to do whatever needs to be done in order to restore that sheep. So you see, a shepherd has to be familiar with his flock. He has to know the flock intimately. And amongst the Eastern shepherds, there is that kind of intimacy where they will often have names for each of the sheep. They will often have a particular sort of a call for the sheep, and they'll develop this intimate kind of a relationship. And that's what Jesus is speaking about here. He says, I know them. The implication is, I know them intimately. Now, in the 139th Psalm, we are reminded of God's intimate familiarity with each of us. Let me remind you of what it says. It says, O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thought afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You have hedged me behind and before, laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. Think about that. You know my sitting down. You know my rising up. You know my thoughts afar off. You're acquainted with my ways. There's not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. Now that is intimate knowledge, isn't it? I mean, there are people that I feel that I know really well, but I don't know their thoughts. I don't know what they're going to say before they say it. I don't know every situation of their life. I don't know they're sitting down. I don't know they're rising up. I don't know their state at every moment of the day, but the Lord knows all those things. You remember Jesus expressed in another way the intimacy with which we are known by the Lord. He said that the very hairs on our head have all been numbered. Can you imagine that? Now, I guess there are over 6 billion people in the world today. It's a lot of people. That's a lot of heads. That's a lot of hair. The Lord knows the numbers of hairs on the head of each person. That's the intimacy with which the Lord is acquainted with us. Look a little bit further on in this 139th Psalm, verse 17. It says, how precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would be more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with you. How precious are your thoughts. If I could count them, they would be more in number than the sand. So this is our shepherd. His entire purpose, really, is centered upon the sheep, taking care of his flock. The third thing that we read here in John chapter 10 is that Jesus said, I give them eternal life. So we are his sheep, personal ownership. He knows us intimately. And finally, he gives us eternal life. He gives life to the sheep. He gives eternal life. Just as a shepherd would be the one who would be responsible for the life of the sheep in the sense of their well-being and all of that, the Lord has given us life. He's given us eternal life. Now, the term eternal life, of course, it means life that never ends. But it also means life of a quality, a higher quality, or an eternal quality. So he gives us life that never ends, but it's not just life that never ends. I mean, in some cases, you think life that never ended would be torture. It would be horror. It would be misery for some people to have to go on in the life that they are in and have to go on in that state endlessly. See, Jesus doesn't merely give us life that never ends. He gives us a quality of life that is superior to anything that we could possibly conceive of or imagine. And so these are the things that the Good Shepherd does for us. Now, secondly, notice that there is a reference here to the sheep as well. And so as we look at the shepherd and also at the sheep, notice what it says, "My sheep hear my voice." So we have a description of the shepherd and his relationship to the flock, and we also have a description of the sheep and their relationship with the shepherd. And so, "My sheep hear my voice." This is one of the characteristics of the sheep. Those who are God's people hear the voice of the Lord. We hear his voice. You know, that is something that is completely just unimaginable to people. The thought that you would hear from God. People just, they can't imagine any such thing. And of course, anytime somebody makes any reference to hearing from God, a lot of times people will say, "Oh, boy, you're a fanatic, you're a loony, hearing from God," as though anybody could hear from God. Well, why couldn't you hear from God? If God is, if he created us, it's really logical to think that he would also speak to us. God does speak to us. He speaks to his sheep. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice." Now we hear his voice through the scriptures. The scriptures are the word of God. And as the word of God is read, or as it is proclaimed, as it is taught, or as it is preached, we hear the voice of the Lord. How many times have you sat and listened to the scriptures be taught, and at the same time, God is speaking to you? You know he's speaking to you. You feel like you're the only one in the building. And the message is exactly for you. You're his sheep. You hear his voice. He's speaking to you. Sometimes it can even be in just the simple reading of the scriptures. I had an experience a few months back where I was at a conference, and during that conference, somebody just began to read a certain portion of scripture. They weren't commenting on it. They weren't giving a sermon or any kind of a Bible study. They were just simply reading it. And as they were reading it, one of those times where I could just sense God was speaking right to me through those words that were being read. And so we hear his voice coming to us through the scripture, but we also hear his voice in a bit of a different sense. We hear it in our hearts and in our minds, as it's referred to in the scripture as that still small voice. You know, those times when you just have that sense that you know that God has told you something. That's the experience of his sheep. We hear the voice of the Lord. He speaks to us. But secondly, Jesus said, "My sheep follow me." So these are the characteristics of the sheep. They hear the voice of the shepherd and they follow the shepherd. We follow his word. We realize that his word is instruction for us. His word must be heeded by us. His word is direction for our lives. So we follow his word. We follow his leading. The Lord speaks to us through his word. He leads us by his spirit. We are followers of Jesus Christ. That's what a Christian really is. You know, today, the very term Christian has almost lost its significance, because you have so many people that refer to themselves as Christians when the fact of the matter is they're not Christians at all. You have references sometimes to, well, that's a Christian nation. And you know, the reality is there isn't any such thing as a Christian nation. You might have had a period of time when there were large numbers of Christians in a nation, and maybe their presence was affecting that nation. And so we have these kinds of references. But a Christian is a person who is personally following the Lord Jesus Christ. And, you know, sometimes I think it's almost better today to use different terminology. And so sometimes if somebody asks me, you know, about myself, I might even say, well, you know, I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. I mean, that's really what a Christian is. The first place that word occurs in the scripture is in Acts 11, I think it's verse 26. And it says that the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. Now, the interesting thing is this. The word disciple means literally a follower. So it was the followers of Jesus who were called Christians. So now you got a lot of people called Christians who aren't following Jesus at all. So we need to get back to the main point, and that of following the Lord. So my sheep hear my voice, they follow me. And now listen to this. They shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. So this is the assurance that's given to us, the Lord's sheep, that we will never perish and that there is no one that can snatch us from the Lord's hand. Now, this statement is a statement that is expressing the security of the sheep. Now, how secure am I as one of the Lord's sheep? Is there the possibility that the Lord is going to lose me? That I'm going to wander off from the flock and be lost, maybe drop off one of those sheer cliffs or get swept away in a raging river or something like that? Well, it certainly is a dangerous situation. The world that we live in is a dangerous world, and there are forces that are working against us, and there are predators that would seek to come and to destroy us. And if we were left to ourselves, we would indeed perish. But we're not left to ourselves. That's the whole point. You see, the Lord is our shepherd. And so he has guaranteed that to those that he's given eternal life, they shall never perish, and no predator, no circumstance is going to be able to alter that or to change that. And this is known, doctrinally speaking, as the security of the believer. The Bible gives us assurance. The Bible gives us a sense of security that we can rest in knowing that the Lord is going to complete what he started, that he is going to get us ultimately to where he has called us to be, and that is heaven. You know how it says in the words to Amazing Grace, through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. And that's a pretty good description of life here on earth. It's full of danger, it's full of toil, it's full of snares, but yet it's that grace of God, that amazing grace of God, that is going to carry us through these things.
For the month of September, Back to Basics Radio would like to recommend a book titled Found Faithful by Elizabeth Skoglund. It's a book of testimonies of great spiritual leaders, such as Charles Spurgeon, Amy Carmichael, C.S. Lewis, Ruth Bell Graham, and others. These saints were flesh and blood human beings with real problems, but they found meaning in the middle of their suffering. They were sometimes wounded in their respective journeys through life, but because of the way they dealt with pain, by definition, they became heroes of the faith. They found God's faithfulness in their circumstances, and because of that, they were found faithful. We encourage you to call us right now at 1-800-733-6443 or visit us online at backtobasicsradio.com to order this book titled Found Faithful by Elizabeth Skoglund. And when you give a gift to Back to Basics, we'll send you this book as our way to say thank you. We do appreciate your generous support of this ministry. We'd also like to remind you that all of our other resources are waiting for you at backtobasicsradio.com or by calling our request line at 1-800-733-6443. That's 1-800-733-6443. Our desire is to encourage you in your daily walk with God. We'll continue tomorrow with more valuable insights from Pastor Brian as we study together in the Gospel of John. Back to Basics is the preaching and teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.